morning. Please stand and join our opening hymn number 2.
Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you here this morning. A few announcements as we begin our service here. If you know, just on the back of your bulletin, just a couple things I want to lift up and highlight to you. First of all, just a reminder that on Sunday, September 25th, next Sunday, will be our called CBM meeting following our morning worship service. And of course, this will be a vote potentially to join the Covenant Brethren Church. If you are a member and are active, you are welcome to participate in that vote. And so we hope that we have a good turnout and hear from a large group of the body here at Moscow for that vote. So I hope that you come and participate in that. And if you have questions about that, you can see leadership team, Ronnie Radebush. He's not here today, but I can give you his number or others on the team that if you have questions about that. So, also, just a reminder as well, there are pamphlets in the narthex there in the table when you come in that provide information on who the Covenant Brethren are and their guide, their constitution, their bylaws, all that is there for you to look at. I think there's even one regarding questions regarding the Covenant Brethren, just frequently asked questions. So, feel free to pick those up. I know there's more than enough copies out there for you to take and can get that information as well. Also, you can always get online to the Covenant Brethren website. Just type in Covenant Brethren, I'm sure it'll come up there in your Google search, and there's lots of information on there also about Covenant Brethren, some of which you can find in those pamphlets out there, but there's other information as well that you can look at and read about the Covenant Brethren and who they are. Yes, Kathy?
Absent, but you will get
Yeah, I think at this point there's no absentee voting. I know, and you're not the only one, Kathy, that has asked that. There's been several. Unfortunately, because it would just complicate things a little too much, we've just decided that it'd be best for those who are present voting. And that was the same way that it was handled when we left. So we'll just kind of follow along with things in the same way that we did the vote to leave. We'll also do the vote for Covenant Brethren. So you need to be present. You need to be a member, and then you need to be an active member. And all that, if you're questioning about your membership, you can always look at the directory, and it has listed right in there all those specifics that you need to fit into to vote. So, again, just hope that there's a good turnout for that and that we the Lord continues to give us direction and guidance through these sorts of questions and answers. Okay, just a reminder as well, in October I'm going to be starting membership classes as well as baptism classes. Maybe you've considered being baptized. If you've not been baptized, certainly you can be a part of those classes. If you would like to move your membership here, just speak to me after service. Let me know that, and we can certainly take care of that. So the classes will run first Sunday of October, the 2nd, the 9th, the 16th. And the baptism will be here on the 30th. So talk to me, especially parents, mom and dad, if you think your child is old enough to understand what it means to make that commitment to baptism and what they're committing to. You know, just talk to me after the service. I'd be glad to discuss that further with you. Also, just a reminder as well, the Bible study is continuing. This will be our second week. We had a wonderful turnout last Sunday. I think we had 14, 15 people here. So praise God. That put a little pressure on me, though. I think I got kind of nervous there for a moment, but it was great. It was wonderful. We had a good time and just great conversation and discussion on the book of Mark, and I hope that we continue to grow and look at that. So feel free to come. It starts at 4:30 to 5:30 this evening. Okay, are there any other announcements you'd like to share at this time? Lee? Okay.
Meet with Kenny and myself and the Methodist Church, talking about when we're going to leave and lunch and this simple long distance.
Okay. That sounds good. If you didn't hear that, if you've planned on going to the women's conference, you've signed up for that. After the service, they're going to have just a little brief meeting to kind of square away all the logistics of going. And so if you are part of that, just stay for a couple minutes. And you're going to meet here in the sanctuary, back in the library? Yeah, back in the library. Okay. Thank you, Lee. Janet?
The greeter schedule that's on the bulletin board is not filling up very fast. So we would really encourage all of you to take a Sunday or two or three and volunteer to be
Janet's just saying, go ahead and put your name there when you go out. That's what she said. Just go ahead and put your name on the greeters list. It's really easy. All you got to do is hand someone a bulletin and say, good morning. And so that's the job. It's pretty simple. But, you know, it's a great way to meet people, and it's a great way to put a smile on everyone's face when they're coming in. So I hope that you take advantage of that. Anyone can do this. If you want to, just sign up for it, and just be sure when you sign up that you're here on that day, and you want to come about 15 minutes early before the service starts so that you can get the bulletins. The bulletins are right there at the door, usually in that little holder. So the person, you just take them out and just hand them out to those who are coming in. It's really simple. And
you call me a couple of days ahead of time.
Uh-huh. Dale. Well, Dale, we'll keep you in mind. But feel free to sign up, too, so we can depend on you, you know, ahead of time. Thank you, Dale. I appreciate that. Anyone else? Any other announcements? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and gather as your church. Lord, I thank you for each person here. Lord, the talents and, Lord, the blessings that they bring into this body here at Moscow. Lord, we are just so blessed to be a part of this family, your family, the family of God. And, Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come here together to worship and praise your son Jesus. Lord, that's why we're here. We're so thankful of all that he's done for us. And Lord, we just lift him up here this morning. We lift up the name of Jesus and we glorify that name. And we praise him here this morning. Bless us, I pray, in this time of worship. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. This is coming from portions of Psalms 104. The psalm says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." Let's turn our hymnals to page 51. "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." Page 51.
I am weak, but thou art strong.
like to share a couple of prayer requests with you this morning, people that I'd like you to continue to pray for and have upon your heart this coming week. If you would you keep Joyce Clatterball in your prayers? Joyce is continuing to recover from a very serious stroke. Joyce was at UVA last week, and since then she has been moved. I think on Friday she was able to be moved from UVA and has been taken to a nursing facility in Waynesboro. So if you would keep Joyce in your prayers for her recovery. I was able to go and visit with Joyce, and I was able to hold her hand and to pray with her. She's not able to talk yet, she's working on that. I'm sure they're going through therapy with her for that. But she suffered a very serious stroke, and she needs your prayers. She needs God's hand to just work a miracle upon her and just to restore her healing to her body, especially to her brain that has suffered such an injury. So if you would, please keep her in your prayers. Also, Vaden, Vaden, of course, hadn't been in very good health either. He's had some heart issues, so I know this is very difficult on him. And I know he said it was very difficult, traveling across the mountain. It was exhausting on him. So praise God, she's back across the mountain. That'll help Vaden some. But he needs our prayers too. And he said to me, be sure to share my appreciation for the church and for all their prayers. And please continue to pray for my wife, Joyce. So that's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep praying for Joyce and praying for recovery for her. Joyce had COVID a couple weeks ago. And then she was kind of recovering from that, and that's when she had this blood clot that went to her brain. So, I'm not sure if the two are connected, but they seem to think they may be with the COVID and the blood clot. So, just keep them in your prayers. Also, Faye Hall is doing well. We continue to lift up Faye in prayer. I got word that her vision is starting to improve. So praise God for that. She couldn't see at all there for a while. And so with this surgery to remove a tumor that was in her behind her eye, that has started to heal, and she started to regain some of that vision back. So what a blessing, what an answer to prayers that is. And so we just continue to lift her up in prayers as well. Also, if you would you be in prayer for Patty Simmons and her family? Yesterday, Patty's mother passed away, Elizabeth Holsinger. So if you would be in prayer for the Simmons family, for Patty, for all those that are affected by the loss of Elizabeth, and we certainly lift up Patty here this morning, and just pray God's peace upon their family and help through this time of great loss. Also, the name Chad Pettit was shared with me this morning. Chad has cancer and is going to have surgery tomorrow. Is that right, Melissa? Or this week, he's going to have very serious surgery. And if you would, you might not know Chad, but just lift up Chad Pettit in prayers for this very serious surgery that he's going to be having to remove cancer. So please keep his name in your prayers this week. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call on our ushers now to come forward and collect our tithes and our offerings. Thank you. Let's stand together in prayer. Will you bow your heads with me? Grace, most heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful that we can again bring our offering and our tithes, lay them before your feet here this morning. Lord, we continue to seek your blessing, Lord, your leading, your guiding. Lord, as we offer these small gifts to you, Lord, we know that you are pleased with our giving. And Lord, that you are pleased that our heart desires to bless you. That's what you want from us, Lord. That's what you desire. You desire us to have a heart that seeks to please you and bless you. And Lord, that we lift you up on high. Lord, that we put you first in our life. Lord, that we worship you and only you. That nothing else comes before you. But Lord, that we seek you first in our life. And we seek, Lord, your word to be first in our life. And Lord, even as we bring our offerings this morning, Lord, that is a token that, Lord, we are seeking to put you first, even before ourselves, Lord, or our own needs, Lord, our own wants. Father, we lay forth these offerings that is a testimony that, Lord, we want to be serving you and worshiping you first before anything else. Lord, you desire to be first, and Lord, you deserve to be first. Father, you are so good, you are so loving, and Lord, you are so perfect. And Father, we just want to honor you here with our tithes, with our offering, with our worship, our praise, Lord, our singing, all these things, Lord, we seek to just honor your Son, and Lord, just to bless his name here together. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer request list, Lord. Pray for those that need your hand of healing, your hand, Lord, that can make all things new. Lord, you are the great physician. And Lord, we continue to bring forth those people that need your healing touch. Lord, we offer those names to you. And Lord, that you might intercede. And Lord, do something that, Lord, could help those that are suffering and are in need. Lord, we look to you and only to you, Lord, to provide these things. And Lord, we know that you will and you can. Lord, bless us, I pray, as we continue through your word, even as we turn to your book of Samuel. Lord, we just pray that you speak to our hearts. Lord, we want to be transformed into, Lord, into your image. We want to be made like your Son Jesus, even as your scriptures call us, to put off the old and put on the new. Lord, help us to put on the newness which is in your Son Christ, and to put off the old sinfulness, Lord, that is of our flesh. Lord, we need your help to do that, and we earnestly seek you to for that help which we need. So, Father, we just praise you now. We glorify your Son, Jesus. We pray all these things in his blessed name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, ushers. Appreciate that. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed. And if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel again. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 Samuel. We're going to be looking at chapter 16 here. And we're looking from selfish Saul to devoted David. Remember, we were talking about Saul and the failures of Saul. I think I titled the sermon, The Failures of a Christian. And so we looked and seen exactly how Saul kind of imploded, didn't he? He imploded. He was going to be this wonderful king for Israel, and he just didn't. It didn't pan out. It didn't work out. And so we're going from this selfish Saul back to this devoted David that we're going to see, kind of the opposite of what we found in Saul. And so we're picking back up here in this dramatic saga of Israel choosing a new king. And so after this rulership of Saul, how it didn't end well, this disastrous end, we're looking, Israel's looking, and God is looking for a new man to do the job. And so we're going to see here that God calls this very humble servant, David. And David will outline for us really the characteristics of what God is seeking for in us. You can look at Saul and say those are the characteristics that God doesn't want us to have. He's an example of those things that God doesn't want. And he was filled with pride, and he didn't seek the Lord. He sought his own ways. He was sinful. And these are the things God says I don't want in a person, a Christian, a believer. And then he gives us this great example of David, who is a man after God's own heart, is what the scriptures tell us. And so he really lays down the example of those characteristics that God is looking for in us. So these two really are great to look back to, and again, just give us insight into the type of people that God is seeking for when he calls forth Christians. Okay, let's look here at verse number 1, chapter 16, 1 Samuel. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." Verse 3, "Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said, and he went to Bethlehem. And the elder of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And then he consecrated Jesse, his sons, and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shimei come by and said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And thus Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before the Lord. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" And then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." And so he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." And then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So here we see that God is calling from Israel a new king. Saul has been completely rejected by the Lord. No longer is Saul seen by God as the king, but he had been rejected. And this was over a lot of different circumstances that Saul had fallen into sinful ways. And it seems as if God had regretted even choosing Saul as to be king. Saul over and over rejected the word of the Lord. When he was to kill the enemy of the Lord, Saul spared the very king of the enemy of Israel. When Saul was supposed to wait on the Lord, what did Saul do? He had his own plans that he went ahead with. Didn't wait, but went ahead on his own. When Saul was to offer a sacrifice, or wasn't supposed to offer a sacrifice to the Lord, what did Saul do? He offered a sacrifice. So he did all these things that were sinful and against God. And Saul and God rejected Saul then for being the king of Israel. Saul was supposed to be this great leader, wasn't he? Israel had high hopes for Saul, but Saul chose wickedly. He chose poorly. And rather than being this great savior or a great person, king for Israel, he really became a dud. And no one lamented or mourned this more, I think. Well, of course, God, but then you see here Samuel himself. God coming in verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him?" So, you know, Samuel had really high hopes for Saul as well. And he was really saddened by the fact that Saul turned out to be wicked and didn't live up to the standard of which Samuel had hoped for him and for Israel. You know, sometimes God works through the brokenness, doesn't he? Sometimes God works more through the brokenness than through the opposite. Maybe you've seen that in your own life, that God has done great things through tragedy in your life, through troubles, through sickness. God can continue to work, can't he, through the troubles that we endure and go through. And sometimes we see God's hand most when we're going through those things. That's not that we wish for bad troubles to happen, do we? We're not longing for suffering or for any type of trouble to come in our life, but certainly we know that when those things do come, we don't count God out, do we? We don't say, well, that's it, God can't work now. No, we continue to look for God. And sometimes he speaks to us more in those times, and we see new things in those moments than we might not otherwise. I remember seeing this commercial on television. Maybe you probably have seen it too. I think it's a wounded warrior type of situation. And there's a fellow on there, and of course he's lost both his legs. He's in a wheelchair, and he's just so thankful that this group has been able to help him have a house that accommodates his special needs now. You know, he's got a cooktop now that lowers down and so he can cook, and he's got a roll-in shower that he can go into. You know, there's just a lot of nice things. And one of the statements that he makes in there, it really is profound. It stood out to me is that, you know, unless he would have went through those things, he wouldn't have been able to appreciate all the love that he has received. And I thought, wow, you know, that's quite a Christian thing to say, that we are able to go through something and then realize, you know what, that we can understand more clearly what God's doing. We can see better now and appreciate more in our life because of going through a bad situation. You know, I'm not sure that Israel would have been able to appreciate a David without first going through a Saul. Does that make sense? They came to a deeper appreciation of David and all the qualities that he brought into Israel because they had suffered under the kingship of Saul, which was miserable. He was really prideful. He was very sinful. He did not wait on the Lord. And they understood then, and they appreciated more this David being called. And I think that's the way God sometimes works, that he brings to us a deeper appreciation from the things that we've gone through and that we wouldn't have otherwise. So don't be completely hopeless when you're going through difficult times. Somebody said one time, what the enemy intends for evil, God intends for good. And that changes the way we look at our situation. What the enemy intends for evil, God intends for good. God can take the troubles in your life, those troubles that you're going through right now, and he can do something good And he can make something good happen out of it. And he can make you appreciate things that maybe you wouldn't have been able to appreciate otherwise without first going through those things. So we see here that David is called by God. He's anointed by God. And he's called as a king to Israel after the failure of this Saul. And Samuel sent, of course, here to this father. And he parades these sons across in front of him. And he chooses David, little David. He's the last one to come forth, isn't he? He's out in the field. And all these others pass before him first. But, of course, notice here that God says he's not looking upon the outward anymore, is he? He's looking on the inward part, the characteristics of God, or characteristics of David that we couldn't see, God can see. And God, he looked upon the heart of David, and that was the person that God wanted to call. David had the ingredients of truly making a good man of God, a good leader for Israel. And those things are what I want to point out here this morning. I want to give you those qualities, those characteristics, those ingredients that make a good Christian. And these are the same sorts of qualities that God wants in us. We find them here in David. And God wants these same certain qualities to be in us believers today. As David, as I said earlier, was a man truly after God's heart. And that's what he wants for us today. Okay, first of all, David had patience. He was a man of great patience. In verse 13, we see here, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David, and from that day forward. And so we see this anointing that happened upon David right there. Do you know how old David was when this happened? He was a teenager. He was a very young man. And most scholars believe he was in his early teenage years, maybe even 14, 15 years of age. So very young. Do you know how long he waited? God waited before he would actually put a crown on his head. David was 30 years of age before he would ever see the throne of Israel. Think of that. All this period. He's anointed as king of Israel, and then nothing. He waits. He waits not 1 year, not 2 years, not 3 years, not even 10 years. Over 10 years, David is waiting, and Saul continues to hold the throne of Israel, although he's been rejected of God. Well, that would take great patience, wouldn't it? Don't you think at some point, if you were in David's shoes, you'd think, well, I need to hurry this process up a little bit. Maybe I can take things into my own hands and remove Saul. And David, remember, at times, he had opportunity to remove Saul. Remember when David was hiding in the cave and Saul came in? David even cut a piece of his cloak off to show him that he was in arm's length. He could have easily killed the king at that moment, but did David kill the king? No, he didn't kill the king. He realized that he needed to wait on the Lord. That's very opposite from Saul. Remember when Saul was waiting there with the enemies gathered, and he was waiting for the prophet Samuel to come, and Samuel told him to wait a certain number of days, I think it was 6 or 7 days, and then Saul waited those amount of days and Samuel never come. And so what did Saul do? He started making plans of his own, didn't he? Saul couldn't wait more than 7 days. David waited for over 10 years for God to move. He waited and he waited and he continued to seek the Lord and waiting on God's timing. Listen, waiting on God can be a very difficult thing. Because we are impatient people, aren't we? We want things to happen right now. We want it to happen quick. We don't want to wait on God. I can remember when I was moving into the ministry. And I remember when I kind of had finished all my necessary training, got all my educational requirements behind me. And I thought, well, I'm ready now. I'm going to go right into the ministry. God's going to call me. He's going to open a church up, and I'm going to go right into ministry of some sort. I was serving part-time. I was already serving as a minister, but I was thinking I was going to get a church, and God was going to move me into full-time ministry somewhere. Well, guess what? 7 years later, I was still waiting. And I was thinking, oh, God, I thought this was going to happen quick. 7 years. 7 years I waiting on God for that moment that God was going to allow everything to line up. And guess what he did? The calling came here at Moscow. The vote came through. It was a high percentage, and we knew that God was calling me here at that moment. But it didn't happen all at once. It took 7 years of waiting for me. It's very difficult, isn't it, to wait on the Lord? We like things to happen quick. We want it to happen fast. And sometimes God is just saying, wait. Wait on me. Wait, what's it really say to God when we're waiting? It means we're trusting Him, aren't we? We're not trusting in our own ways. I'm not pushing my own agenda, my own plan, not kicking the doors of opportunity open, but I'm waiting for God to open that door and invite me in. And that's a trust that we're putting in God, not in self, but in God. And that's the type of patience that David had. That's the type of patience that God wants us to have as well. He wants you to wait on Him. Even when you feel like this should already have happened, this should already be done, He says, just wait on me and wait for my leading and my guiding. Well, that's what David did. He waited on the Lord, and eventually, when it was right, the timing was right, God brought forth David to the throne that he had been anointed for all those years earlier. David was a man of great patience. Number two, David was a man of great humility. He was a very humble person. Notice there, verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. The first person, Saul was this, remember I told you, he was this guy that looked like the kingly type. He was head and shoulders above anyone else in Israel. He's a very tall individual. So he stood out kind of in that regard. I think he was kind of tall, dark, and handsome. He fit the structure of what a king would look like. This type of strong leader that just in appearance that a person might trust in. But what does God say? I don't call based on appearance. He's judging David not on what he looks like, but on what's on the inside. And David was a very humble person. He was very humble. And some of that, I think, had to do with the stature, even maybe the place, a position in the family. Notice he's the youngest child. Notice that when Jesse calls forth his children to be paraded in front of the prophet, that this boy is so unlikely to hold any position that he doesn't even call him in from the field. I'm sure he has other workers out there that could have taken over the sheep or the animals. But he doesn't even bother. Not David. This prophet of God's coming. He's wanting my family, someone in my family to hold a high position here to do something great. And the father never even thinks of David at all. He's kind of this scrawny boy. Maybe the run of the litter, you might say. He's ruddy, which means he's kind of, he could be redheaded or it could be reddish in complexion, is what it means there. But he's this scrawny little guy, this little boy. I think potentially that had to do something with building maybe the humility within David. He didn't think too highly of himself. He wasn't the Saul type. The problem with being the Saul type is sometimes you can build up pride within yourself, can't you? You can trust in your good looks or your strong stature. You can kind of start to pride yourself in these things. And that's exactly what Saul did. David, he didn't pride himself in those sorts of things. And God recognized that and called David to the throne because of the humility which was in David's life. Listen, God continues to want to call us as humble servants to God. He doesn't want us to think too much of ourselves. You know, if you go around saying me, me, me all the time, you're thinking way too much of yourself. If all your sentences, all your thoughts are just about me and I, you need to turn that around and start thinking about God more. Less about yourself, more about God. That's what it means to be humble. Thinking less of yourself. David was a humble servant of God. And that's what he desires in us today. Okay, he was a humble servant, but notice he was a man of great courage as well, wasn't he? Remember, I was going to say, kind of speaking of the humility, remember when the big fight against the Philistines was happening, David was sent out to his brothers who were out fighting. You know, David doesn't look like the fighting type, I don't think, either. So he's kind of the first DoorDash. He's taking cheese to his brothers. How many have used DoorDash before? I've not used that, but the food service, they'll bring food to you. And David was bringing food to his brothers. And remember, it's at that same battle that David has this great courage to go forth and take on this giant, Goliath. Little scrawny David, the last guy, the guy delivering cheese to the soldiers, is the guy that's going to go out and fight the chief warrior of the Philistines. Goliath was a giant of a man. They don't know exactly how tall he was. It says either 4 or 6 cubits in the Bible, but they're not exactly sure exactly what a biblical cubit is. So the estimates are anywhere from 9 foot to 11 foot tall. I would tend to say more towards the 11 feet in my mind. Why not? Can you imagine a man 11 foot tall? The tallest individual in the World Book of Records is Robert Wadlow. He was 8 foot 11 inches tall. Well, that's big, isn't it? And that's a giant of a man. But think Goliath was even bigger than that. Can you imagine an 11 foot man and little scrawny David coming up against him? What courage it must have took for David to go out into the field and to take on a man of that size. And yet David did it. But you know, David's courage wasn't in himself, wasn't he? That would be pride again. We're back to pride. If David's courage is in his own ability, we're back to pride. And David wasn't filled with pride, was he? What was his courage in? His strength was in the Lord, wasn't it? His courage was in God, that God had anointed him king, and that nothing would come to harm him. Remember what David said when he went out to face the giant? He said, "Oh Goliath, you come at me with sword and with spear and with javelin." Remember what he said? "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel's, whom you have defiled." Boy, that's courage, isn't it? Well, wouldn't it have been neat to see that happen? And David speaking those words. He came forth courageous because his strength was found in the Lord. You know, God is looking today for people that are courageous. God doesn't want a church full of cowards. I hope you hear that, because I'm afraid that much of the church today has become filled with cowards. They're no longer willing to speak up if they say something that might offend someone outside the doors of the church. They're afraid and fear of standing up for God's word today, because they might be persecuted for what they believe. We see that today, don't we, happening? And we see the other side continuing to pummel the church and get their way, even though at times they're the smallest voice, they're the loudest voice. The problem is the church doesn't have a voice anymore. The church has become completely silent when it should have been speaking up the whole time. We find ourselves in a situation where we had to leave our own denomination because people were unwilling to stand up and stand on the Word of God and be courageous. You know what the Bible says, the first that go into the pit of hell? Read it for yourself, Revelation. The first into the pit of hell is cowards. That's how it's listed. The cowards go first. Let me tell you, God does not like cowards. And we have to be courageous in today's world. We have to be willing to stand up and speak the truth of God, even if it's not popular. Even if we might get persecuted by others around us. We have to be willing to stand up against the giants that seek to destroy us. David was a man of great courage, and he knew that his strength was in the Lord. And if he was just willing to stand up against the giants of the giant of the Philistines, that God would give him the victory. Listen, friends, we have to get back to being a courageous church. I tell you, I commend the church here at Moscow for taking a stand of staying with God's Word, even when it meant you guys leaving your own denomination. I'm part of that too. But as a church, we came to that decision. Praise God. As a pastor, I'm just thank the Lord that the church had enough strength and courage to stand up when it wasn't popular. To stand up when there might be someone that criticizes you. Thank God. David was a man of courage. And he stood up. And God is calling people like that today as in the church. Okay, he was a man of humility. He was a man of courage. David was a man of faith as well. Through his life, David proved that he was a man of deep devotion and faith. All you need to do is go back and read through the Psalms. Look at the heart that David had. You'll get a great sense of who David was just by reading through the Psalms, much of which were written by David. And you see a man that he's not perfect. None of us are perfect, are we? But he's a man that truly has a heart to seek the things of God. So different than that of Saul. He had a heart, though, that desired to draw close to God. He had a heart that desired God to just embrace him and love him. And he just wanted to be close to God. You can really hear his heart just pleading out through the Psalms. Of course, David made some mistakes. He fell into sin. But he repented of those sins too, didn't he? He had a heart of repentance. A heart that seeked to serve God and to love God. Listen, that's what God wants from us. He wants a heart within you that desires to seek and serve God first. That's not to say that you're not going to fall into sin. Yeah, we get off course, don't we, at times? We lose course, like a ship blown off course. We sometimes the things around us kind of blow us off course and we lose our way. But God wants us then to have a desire to get back going the right direction, to have a heart of seeking God and loving God, desiring to serve God, to put Him first. That is the sort of perfecting faith that David had and the sort of faith that God wants us to have. Okay, lastly, David had great grace as well. He was a man of great grace. And that was a great attribute to David. We see that through his kingship. In fact, you'll have to read back through 2 Samuel chapter 9, Mephibosheth. Remember that name, Mephibosheth? This was the son, this was the grandson of Saul. I think that's right. And he was crippled. And he would have been a threat at some point to King David, but yet David didn't see him as a threat. In fact, he found his place right at the king's table. and ate there with the king, a man of great grace. And he had received grace and he gave grace. God wants us to have patience. He wants us to have humility. He wants us to have great courage. He wants us to have faith. And he wants us to have grace. Those are the birthmarks of a Christian, aren't they? Those are the qualities of a Christian that God desires and still continues to look for in each one of us who call ourselves a follower of Christ. Display those things in your life and please the Lord. Don't follow the path of Saul and end as a dud or in misery, being seen as God as something that he wished he'd never done. Yet, he desires us to be like David, with those qualities that he can be proud of and that we will bless God with. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this example of David, which you give us here this morning. Lord, those simple qualities, Lord, that you desire in our life, help us, I pray, Lord, to have those things, display those characteristics, and, Lord, to be that Christian, those Christians, Lord, that you desire us to be. Help us, Lord, to be the man or woman of God that you've called us to be. Lord, don't let us end in failure like Saul, but Lord, direct our path that we might have those same attributes of your servant David, whom loved you with all his heart. Bless us, I pray, and through the hearing of this word, might we apply it to our hearts and our life. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, let's gather now in our closing hymn. If you would stand, and we will turn to page 336, Jesus, I Come. Page 336. Let's sing the first and the last. Heavenly Father, bless us, I pray, as we go. Father, we just give you thanks again for this scripture. Encourage us each with us. Bless us this week, I pray. Watch over us till we meet again. In Christ Jesus' name, we pray these things. Amen.